It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a hey, Mambo.
There's even a part in there about pizza. I always play that song for Legislative District 30 State Rep Leo Biasucci.
It's a great song.
Or Biasucci.
Biasucci.
Yep, yeah. It's like when you watch an Italian movie, the Italian cinema. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to offend, but it's like they all whine. Why don't you do this? If I was an actor, Whiny Boy Lavoie would be in Italian cinema. I'm telling you right now.
I love it. I love it.
It's great to have you back.
It's great to be here.
Man.
It's always good to be home. It's session is in full throttle. Days are long and nights are long. So whenever I have a chance to get the heck out of there, I do. So,
folks, he's wearing a U of A cap in a UNLV alumni studio, which is fine because I'm kind of a U of A fan right now. I'm on the fan wagon. But you went to school at University of Arizona.
Look, we all make mistakes, right? And going to UNLV, it was obviously a mistake, and being a fan. But look,
the mistake was taking my ACT the morning after homecoming. That was the mistake.
That is a mistake.
Yes.
Bear down. Bear down.
There you go. 23-1.
I know. If they took a loss, look. Sometimes I think you need that loss, right?
That's a good loss.
I agree too. At Kansas, tough game
in the field house.
In the field house.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now. This time of year, right toward the middle of, you know, you're ramping up. Those guys are going, man, we got to play better. They're gonna peak again sometime in March.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they're going to be a number one seed.
They're a great team. They have a solid crew. For
Westwood
sure.
One Sports Network. They say there's U of A, and there's everyone else, which is kind of a jinx, but.
Yeah, no.
All right, so today is the Dutch Love Day of Giving in Lake Havasu City. $1 for every drink sold donated to the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank. How cool is that, right? And it's a little partnership they have going on today. So get on over to Dutch Bros and order a drink, every drink sold. $1 donated to the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank today only. And I promised Coco that I would mention that, right? Colleen Mattinson, the manager. Symphonic Winds, join Lake Havasu Symphonic Winds this Sunday. Made in America, 250 years of innovation. 3 p.m., High School Performing Arts Center. Tickets are still only $10. Youth under 18 are still admitted for free. Advanced tickets are available at Soundbank Electronics and online at eventbrite.com. Doors and box office open at 2:30. So there you go. More information, call 928-680-6927. And I'm going to give you a little master plan update later on in the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's a period right now, a 60-day public review period.
And
that's a big deal, just like state lands.
100%.
Something going on right now. That's why I wanted to have you on the show, that and a few other things.
Yeah.
You've got a bill that you're putting through. I don't know where it's at. You're going to tell us all that, where it's at. But it has to do with state lands, and I love the idea because there's one land commissioner.
Yep.
Okay, so, that land in Lake Havasu City, we're going to sell that because I said so.
Yep.
But you want to change all that.
Yeah, I think it's been a big problem for a long time, right? You have these state lands that are spread out around the state, and the only person who determines what goes up for auction, what goes for sale, what goes for lease, what happens to these lands, is the state land director. And this is somebody who's appointed by the governor, right? So this is, you know, right now it's obviously a Democrat commissioner. But even let's take the politics out of it for a second. The fact that you have one person in Phoenix, right, up in this tower, who's deciding what happens in Lake Havasu City or Mojave County, La Paz County, or anywhere else in the state that's not Maricopa, I think is absolutely insane. And I think we saw it with the land on the island. I mean, here's a great example, right? You have 80-plus acres that she decides that she's going to allow to be put up for auction for sale. No input from the city, no input from the county, no input from the residents. It just happens. And then what happens at the auction? You know, the initial appraisal was $7 million.
Right.
It sold for 23 or 24.
24.
So right away, they got the number wrong. And I remember I called them when this happened, and I said, you are way low. Like, you're talking about land on the island in Lake Havasu City, waterfront access, number one. And that showed when the auction price came in. But the biggest issue you have is who won the auction. Now, look, congratulations. I hope they do well. I hope they develop whatever they, you know, have the right to develop. But you had a Scottsdale firm who completely outbid everybody locally. Like, it wasn't even close, right? I mean, they
left, like, I don't know how many millions on the table, but it was a lot.
It was a lot. And so, but this is the other problem, right? You have this, so here is the triple whammy. You have somebody in Phoenix deciding what happens in our backyard. You have an outside firm that's going to come in and try to hijack these auctions. And then the people in the town have no say in what happens or how it happens. So the whole thing is just, it needs to change. And so my bill, it actually passed out of committee yesterday. So it was party line, of course, not surprised. But it just says, look, every county should have their own commissioner. Every county should have their own land commissioner in that county who decides what land goes up, and that is somebody who's elected by the body. Now, look, I don't like growing government. I'm not a fan of it. This is technically doing that. But this is one situation where I think we all can agree. Some one person in Phoenix shouldn't be telling us what we can and can't do with our land and what goes up for auction. You should have somebody elected by the people of that county who has to answer to the people of that county. Because the person in Phoenix, they're appointed. They're under the governor. They don't have to answer to you or me or anybody else. This makes way more sense.
Who knows better than local?
100%. Right. And you keep them accountable, right? They get in there. They're out of control. They're not doing what they should. You unelect them. You recall them. You do whatever. The people will do it.
So I pictured a board, but then I thought, wow, a 15-member board. That's a big board because
There's
15 counties, obviously. And then Robin Saheed is the state land commissioner right now, appointed by Katie Hobbs in 2023 to lead the Arizona State Land Department. 9.2 million acres of state land that she oversees, and she's a former, I think she's a developer, if I remember right. I saw that,
and you going back to like the 15 board, it's actually broken up to each county is its own commissioner with its own board.
Ah,
so it's not that the 15 would have to come together. It would literally be, instead of having a state land commissioner that oversees, you have one in Mojave County that oversees Mojave County,
right.
And that's their job. They don't answer to anybody else. They answer to the people. They answer to their, you know, residents, and they deal with it. So you would actually just have one person in every county handling this.
So would you leave this up to Mojave County or the cities or the Tri-City Council, maybe?
It'd be under Mojave County. So it would just be like having a recorder or a treasurer. So the same exact situation.
Nice.
And the thing is, another example I'll give you is with the Coyotes,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know if people recognize this, but the Coyotes.
Phoenix Coyotes.
The Phoenix Coyotes,
yes.
Right? They put up for auction. They applied to have this land north of Phoenix. It was like near Scottsdale off the 101. They put all the application in to get a bunch of land. They were going to build their new stadium there and keep the Coyotes in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a day before the auction. So state land approves the auction. They approve everything. Day before, they cancel the auction completely.
What?
And so the Arizona Coyotes, Phoenix, they call state lands. They said, what is going on? We paid all the money. We did all this. And they said, we're not giving you an answer. We don't have to give you an answer. We're just going to cancel it. And now the Coyotes are in Utah. Because
right.
of that, because they got so pissed, they said, this is absolutely insane. You won't even tell us why you canceled the auction. You won't give us a reason. You won't give us what happened. And they still to this day refuse. We just had them in committee this week, they refused to answer.
They were the Arizona Coyotes, right?
Arizona, correct.
Thank you.
You're good.
I messed up. I think they started it. Anyway.
But going back to my point, again, you have a situation with one person who's making all these decisions, and it needs a change. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. It passed party line, so I don't know.
Have you had any conversations with her by chance?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to her assistant, Cordova, Lynn Cordova. She's actually the one that is kind of the legislative liaison. That's the one we usually talk to most of the time. And they admitted this week in committee that they're overwhelmed and
they are.
They've only been there 3 years and there's a lot they have to learn still. Again, I go back to that point of I do not like one person appointed deciding what's happening to our land out here in Mojave County.
And here's another question that comes about when I think of state lands. I don't remember in my lifetime, but since I've been on the river almost 35 years.
Right.
Probably more. Oh, it's more now. Holy cow.
You're old.
I'm dating myself. I don't remember as many state land sales as they've had in the past 2 years. It is Parker Strip.
Correct.
Almost all of those resorts down there have had a state lands or had to buy their land back. You've got the property out here, the Nautical Golf Course. You've got the property behind the field house. That's another, how many acres was that?
Yeah.
Right?
And you have another one now about to go up in the foothills.
So my question, oh, really?
That's like 600 acres.
Whoa. My question is why? Why all of a sudden are they unloading all this land?
It was a position that was taken in this last administration under Governor Hobbs that they wanted to move towards selling more land, generating more revenue. And I think we all can agree here in Havasu, like, that's not always the answer, right? I mean, you don't have to sell this land. It's state land for a reason. A lot of it should be protected. Leave it alone. I mean, it's just, it's wild that that position has shifted from the Ducey administration to the new administration. They have moved now to selling as much as they can versus leasing or leaving it alone. And now,
it's definitely a developer mentality, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And you have other situations where Representative Martinez, a colleague of mine, Republican, they have a situation happening in her district where you have all this land that's the lease is up, and you have all these businesses that have built on this land. It's right off the highway. You have gas stations and all these other, and the state land department is refusing to renew the lease.
Really good question. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, but they're refusing to renew the lease. So now all these businesses are losing their mind. They're like, we just spent how much money, and you're not going to renew it for us? You're going to sell it off to some random person?
Right.
It's just, it's a hot mess. Absolutely. And I think, again, like, get it out of an appointed individual, bring it back to the people, bring it local, makes more sense.
Well, Maricopa County had a pretty good stance on a piece of land. I don't know if you saw it. There was a sports complex north of town.
Yep.
It looked like, from the map anyway, and they put in the bid, and nobody else did. Maricopa County went, yeah, we'll bid on that. Or it was the city of Phoenix.
Smart move.
So now it's city of Phoenix land.
Right. And they were the only bidder. And I actually talked to the mayor about that.
Kate Gallego?
I saw it at an event, and I said, hey, I'm curious. Like, how did you guys pull that off? You had all this land. Nobody bid on it. And it was prime. It was right back to TSMC. Great area. And she said, well, we made the position. We made it very clear. This is going to be a park. This is not going to be developed. And she's like, nobody bid. Because we were very clear to the public. Like, this is going to be and remain a trails and park.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be developed. And so sometimes that's what you got to do. And just, you know, flex your muscle. And so
No new Cactus League Stadium.
Yeah, right? Correct. Correct. But it's a smart move, right?
Because yeah, very.
When you want to protect certain land in your city, I mean, sometimes you have to flex your muscle and make it very clear. This is never going to, you know, this is going to be a park, this is going to be trails, and you scare everybody off.
I got you. Okay, this comes from our KNTR Talk text line.
Okay.
928-727-5566. How much authority would a county land commissioner have? Could the state land commissioner overrule the county or that county board?
So the way I set it up, and it's a great question, is that the full authority would be at the county. So you would literally, my bill literally gets rid of the state land commissioner position altogether. So the whole department would be gone, and it would transfer to each county. So you would literally just take the model of the current administration, current land commissioner, move it to the county level. They would control all of it. Now, there is talk, do you make a hybrid? Do you still have a state land commissioner that they, let's say they would try to put a land up for auction, they'd have to get approval by the county commissioner. So there's a lot of ways you can do this. My bill is saying get rid of the state land commissioner completely. It's an appointed position. Leave it to the counties. Let there be one for Maricopa, and they can handle Maricopa.
Okay, I'm probably going to show you this next question. I'm not sure I understand it, but could the state, I think there's a word missing, another land exchange with BLM to preserve land that residents want to leave as open space? Does that make sense?
So with it, yeah, let me read it real
okay,
quick.
Okay, it's the last one.
Yeah. Could the state land exchange with BLM to preserve land? Okay, so yeah, they're asking if the state land. Yeah, so this happens now, actually. We do, Congressman Gosar has done this multiple times for La Paz. I've done it in a kind of a separate way for Bullhead City, where we've seen land that's, there's like different types of state land. There's, BLM land. And you can, it's a good call. Like you would, that's a good position, or a good a duty of this commissioner can say, look, we're going to exchange land. So Bullhead, here's a great example. They had land that was along the Colorado River. They wanted to control it because it was under state land. It's a different division, but, and so I ran a bill, allowed the city of Bullhead to take over that land for the single per, and in the bill I literally wrote it specifically. I said, this land will be turned over to the city of Bullhead. They can only use it for parks or trails and to maintain the land.
Where was this?
In Bullhead. It's like right along the river. So there was two different parcels.
Is it a nature preserve?
No, one's like a park that they're going to use for, like, I think it's a veterans park.
Oh, okay.
One was like the strip of land that was almost like off the bank of the river that was maintained by the state.
The peninsula.
Right, yeah. It's like, yeah. Right. And so the county or the city Bullhead is like, we would like to take that and just preserve it. And
oh,
in
I
the
remember,
bill.
I remember.
Yeah, and it passed unanimously, signed by the governor. But that's the kind of stuff, again, going back to if you have a land commissioner in that county that understands the county. Right, they have their connection. They're going to be able to do all that stuff, and that's how it should be. This person in Phoenix has zero clue. And again, going back to when that first appraisal came out for the land on the island, and I called them and I said, "Who in the heck is doing your appraisal?" They said, "Oh, it's some firm out of Tucson."
What?
I'm like, "You?" So they're not even in this area.
Were they using Google Maps?
Yeah, probably.
Did they even come out and look at it?
I don't know the details.
Wow.
But still, it's going back to. Aren't we all in favor of local control? Do we not want to have these decisions being made by somebody at the local level? I think we all can agree on that. Again, party line vote. We'll see what happens. The Dems are all a no. Again, they're protecting
They're
their,
all a no?
They were protecting. But you have to remember, she's an appointed position by the governor.
Yeah, I understand that. But their talking points all come on a laptop anyway, and they
read
the same talking points. What are their talking points? Do you know?
It's all the same. They said, I think one said, which is ironic, right? They get talking point. One said, "You're growing government." I'm like, "That's
there's the pot calling the kettle
black."
That's
rich. and it's funny because I actually said that in my testimony.
Wow.
I said, "Look, I don't like growing government. This is more of a shift, in my opinion.
Sure,
right? You're changing the authority from a one person in the ivory tower to local control.
How about we do this? We trade all of the county superintendents, right, of instruction, and trade them for state land commissioner. I'm just saying,
I like that.
Education is so bloated that you have 15 county superintendents, right?
Yeah, it's that's a position
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Because there's each district has a superintendent.
Correct.
And then you have a state superintendent. I don't understand it.
No, maybe that's a trade-off.
Somebody's going to be waiting outside the door one of these days. Are you Paul Lavoie? No, man, not me. All right.
I like that trade-off. Maybe that's the trade-off of your growing government. Well, we're going to remove this.
I am not running.
That's smart.
I do not. No, I don't have the patience. I don't know how you guys do it. I just don't know how you do it.
I have more gray hairs than I did when I got in.
You kind of do.
I know.
That's why you got to get a really close. Close
That's
shave,
true.
You know, and because that'll age you right there.
That's a good point.
So, anyway, you know, Rockabilly's this weekend, right?
Oh,
Rockabilly reunion!
I love it
at Windsor 4. That's right.
That's gonna be fun. I wish I could go. I have the Wickenburg parade is this weekend. The Gold Rush days.
This right here is a weekend pass.
Oh,
this is a
Are
weekend
we
wristbands. Two of them. We're gonna give them away right now.
Can we do a? Can we do a quiz, a question?
A question?
We should do something. We have somebody answer a question. Maybe when we get back. Or is it too tough?
I don't know. I don't know what your question is.
I don't know. Let me think of something. We'll bring it back.
Like, what's Brian Setzer's name? So you don't want me to give him away right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do this. Yeah. What legislative district do I represent?
I said it at the beginning of the show.
I know you did.
I like it. 928-854-5687. That's your civics lesson today. What legislative district does State Representative Leo Biasucci represent?
And I'll give a hint.
Easy. It's changed like five times.
There's 30 districts. So it's either right. District 1,
or 2,
2 3, or 4, 3, 5, all the way up to 30.
Right. It's not CD9.
No.
All right. Or text in your question, 928-727-5566. I got Stray Cats going. You know, Marissa June, huge Stray Cats fan.
Oh, really?
She had on her Stray Cats shirt yesterday.
I love it.
She's playing with the Alter Billies tomorrow at 11:30. So everybody get out there and bring your, don't bring any bottles or anything. I think she's going to have chicken wire around her anyway, right?
I love it.
Like the Blues Brothers. But, yeah, you've got Rockabilly this weekend. Give us a call, 928-854-5687. If you want the Rockabilly Reunion Weekend wristbands. I've got two left. That's it.
Wow.
That's all I have. What? Oh, she's like, what? What, the chicken wire?
Yeah, she's locked in.
You know, I play drums, right?
Yes.
Well, I used to be. Anyway, I put a Plex shield around, and people go, what's that for? Well, it's not really for noise. It's, you know, it's like invisible chicken wire.
Because everybody's reaching out for Paul Lavoie.
No, they're, they're throwing bottles, man. All right, we're going to go to break. Back with more with State Representative Leo Biasucci. See how I didn't give away the district?
Well done.
All right, we're talking state lands. I'm going to talk about a few other things as well.
Governor
and
race just
your
got...
Your seatmate is going to be in here next week.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
oh,
John
I
Gillette.
Going to miss that guy.
Going to be in here. I think there's an election bill going or something that's going through that he's walking through. He can't be here until next Friday.
Got it.
That makes sense?
Makes sense.
All right. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. That's one of my favorite Stray Cat songs right there. Sexy at 17. It was actually a hit on the radio back in the day that you wouldn't remember because you weren't around yet.
What year was it?
This was probably 82 or 83.
No, I was born, 82.
The big time, really?
Yeah.
This was my graduation year from high school. That's funny.
It's all good.
All right, it is all good. You know what? Apparently, either nobody knows what district you're in, or they're not interested in going to Rockabilly, but it's going to be a really nice day later on, a nice night, and then tomorrow night, there's a really good band, a Social Distortion tribute.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be tomorrow night. So, be a really nice day tomorrow, really nice day on Sunday. Y'all are going to miss out. It's like God carved out space for Rockabilly Reunion and Winter Blast.
The weather's great.
Until Monday.
Yeah.
Monday,
then it becomes a massive storm.
It's coming back. Right. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at KNTRtalk.com. I know you wanted to get to the elephant in the room, but I need to talk about February 17th, is 4 days away.
Yep.
I think it's Tuesday, maybe? Yeah, Tuesday.
14th. Yep.
Starts the 60-day public review period for the general plan. It's general plan open house.
Love it. Now, show up to that. Everybody needs to show up to that.
Everybody needs to. You know, give them your input. And then February 25th is the open house at the library. The review period starts on the 17th, so I misspoke. May 6th and 20th, Planning and Zoning Commission hearings. June 9th is the City Council hearing. That's when here's the general plan, here's what's going to go on the ballot. So voter ratification will be on November 3rd. I've never been a part of that where it's been on the ballot where I've voted. So
yeah.
I mean, here in Lake Havasu City.
Right. Right.
So this is kind of all
seemed to be cool.
New to me.
Right, and it's exciting, though, right? It's the public should be involved. You should voice your concerns. Just talking about what we talked about with the state land up in Phoenix, yes. right, where the city came in and said, look, don't bid on this. I mean, you can, but this is never going to change
right.
zoning. That's the kind of stuff that we have to have citizens come out and say, look, let's protect our shoreline. Let's protect, you know, whatever areas that we want to make sure that nothing can build there. Very, very important for people to give their express their concerns and ideas.
That said, before we get to the next topic,
yeah.
what's next as far as what do we have to protect shoreline with shoreline access? Are we talking about Body Beach? Is that next?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
is that a target?
It is. I think that the city has to figure out something to protect Body Beach. I mean, here's the reality, right? It happens over time. You have developers. A lot of times they'll come out of the city or out of state. They see this untouched resource here in Lake Havasu. I mean, you think about Havasu, we don't have a lot of shoreline access. We don't have a lot of, you know, shoreline hotels or homes or, I mean, you look at, you know, Parker and Bullhead. I mean, they're building up and down the river. You don't have that here. And so developers, they see the dollar figures. Again, going back to the island, appraised at $7 million, goes for $23 million. Havasu really needs to make this decision. What do they want to do with the city? Because, look, I am a firm believer in you continue to allow the city to grow, but you have to be responsible, right? You can't just say, let's let anything develop, let's let everything develop, let's build a bunch of homes. You have to do it right. You have to do it in a responsible way. So this is why it's so important for people to come out in this process, voice your concerns, make sure we're doing it the right way. And so make sure you show up for these. That's highly, highly recommended to everybody.
So Karen Taylor-Robeson, KTR, out of the race.
Out of the race.
Completely. I thought she had raised the most money among the Republicans. I didn't think Biggs was even in the ballpark of the. I mean, Hobbs has $9-10 million.
Right.
She's got a lot of money raised so far, and then Karen Taylor-Robeson was up around 5 or 6.
Yep.
And then everybody else. You know, you had Swikert, and then of course Andy Biggs. Why did she drop out? Do you know?
I mean, I think the thing you have to look at is. You know, and I've been now in politics for 7 years. You know, mm-hmm. this is year 8, and you realize that money doesn't always buy votes, right? The candidate matters, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with KTR. I'm just saying that sometimes voters do not connect with a certain candidate that's on the ballot, right? For whatever reason, right? They don't have their personal skills, their personality is not right, whatever the case may be. And I think KTR, again, very smart woman. I've met with her before. I just think she never had that connection, and she was testing the waters, right? She had the most money, right? Comes from a very wealthy – she's very wealthy. Her husband is Robeson Homes. He has a home builder.
Okay. Is that in Maricopa County?
He's throughout the whole state.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so okay. A huge developer. And I think it was one of those things where, you know, you pump money in, and then you do a poll, and you pump money in, and you do a poll. I believe, and I don't know the right answer, but I believe what happened is, you know, she's spending the most money. She brought in the most money. And when your polling numbers don't shift more than they should be, right? Like she's at, you know, I'm just theoretically saying you're at 8%, you spend $2 million, you're at 9%.
Uh-huh.
You have to really look back and look at yourself and say, okay, is this working? Do I continue to put money into something where, look, the moment Biggs got in, he was the front runner immediately. It was like overnight, right? And then mm-hmm. and then never really changed. I mean, her and Schweiker were at that, you know, percentage where they were at.
Right.
Biggs was up here. All this money's being pumped in. I give her credit because she saw the writing on the wall. A lot of people wouldn't step down because they just, you know, we have egos, and when you run for office, you think you're the greatest person ever. But she made the decision.
It's because you've got people around you telling you you are.
Of course, and they do it all the time.
The big echo chamber.
100%, right? Yeah. You're sitting there, and the people in your ear, you're the best, you're the greatest. I give her credit for her realizing, look, this is going to hurt us, because I'll tell you right now, Hobbs, no primary. Mays, no primary. Fontes, no primary. The Dems do it well. They do not go after each other. And I have no problem with people challenging.
Republicans eat their own.
They do, but I will be clear. I have no problem with people wanting to run for office.
Okay.
But the Dems use that strategy, and that's why I give KTR credit. She saw the writing on the wall. She could have stayed in. She could have pulled votes and pulled money away from the primary election. But when you have three of the highest levels, right, governor, secretary of state, AG, that are all run by Democrats right now, that all have no challenger, you have to take one for the team and say, look, I have to do what's best for the party sometimes. My numbers aren't improving. The writing's on the wall. Let's get behind a candidate and make sure we save as much money as we can for the general election, because this is the number one state in the country that will be watched. The administration told me that. They're concentrating on it, and the Dems know that. This is a big deal.
But after the primary, Biggs needs to choose a lieutenant governor for the ticket. It's not something we vote for here in Arizona. To me, the super ticket would be him and KTR. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but Reagan chose, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush,
right?
And they ran together. There was a moderate and a conservative. I'm just saying it sweeps. It has a lot of reach that way as far as the independent voters or the party not declared.
Yeah, and maybe a lot of listeners don't know, but we voted for this in the last election cycle to allow now a lieutenant governor because
yes.
And it was a smart move because right now, let's say the governor dies or something.
Adrian Vantes becomes governor.
Correct.
Oh my
Secretary
goodness.
Of State takes over the governorship.
No.
So we don't have a legitimate lieutenant governor.
That's just not any Secretary of State. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we made the change and said we now have a lieutenant governor. This will be the first election that happens. They will run as a ticket with the governor, and that is decided after the primary. And it's a smart move. We did that because we knew that you would have sometimes challengers in the primary against each other, and then sometimes they'll pick somebody that ran against them, and they say, look, you're going to be my new lieutenant, like they do with vice president.
Right.
Same situation. So going back to your point. Biggs picking KTR, which, full disclosure, I endorsed him, I think it was a week after he said he was going to run.
Would he lose the base if he did that? Because, I don't know, I'm going to put it out, I'm going to keep it real right now, okay?
Sure.
Biggs is Mormon.
Yes.
That does not help him, does it?
Oh, I mean, in Arizona, I think it does.
Okay.
We have a huge Mormon community.
Because some people would disagree with you.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think that hurts him at all.
Okay.
I think what, the reality is this, he's, he will win the general, or the primary,
yes.
For sure. Right? At this point, I mean, God bless David
Schweikert. Might carry District 1.
Yeah, he's not gonna, he just doesn't have name recognition.
He might.
It's just the reality.
Yeah.
He's going to win the primary. The question is, how do you get enough of the moderate vote in the general to beat Katie Hobbs? Right? How do you get the independents, which are a huge number of voters?
I'll
right?
tell you how. You get three times the vote here in Mojave County to offset Maricopa County.
Which we did for President Trump.
Right.
Well, the reason President Trump is president right now is Mojave County.
We turned out, and
I give massive credit to all our Republicans in this county, our chairs, everybody came together, right? We did what was right. Now, going back to your question, KTR, there's one thing she does very well. I don't agree with her politics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing she does really well, and that's fundraise.
Oh, yeah.
She can bring in money like mm-hmm. nobody else, right? So I think Congressman Biggs has to think about How do I unite? How do I make sure? Because the thing about I love about Congressman Biggs, he's been in the legislature, right? He was the Senate president. He knows how the sausage is made, right?
Right.
Shout out to Senator Borelli, Supervisor Borelli. How the sausage is made.
Don't say the name. He'll show up.
I know. You're probably right. But he understands it. So he is a brilliant man on policy. Like, the guy is a smart
right,
man.
Right.
He knows how to get things done. He knows how to make, you know, compromises to get things done. He's very smart.
Charlie Kirk was a big fan of Biggs, too.
Huge fan. Endorsed him, right?
Yeah.
So, but I want Congressman Biggs to be concentrating on that, right? Good policy. Govern. Put this.
And have somebody else who can raise money.
Yeah, you need somebody in that second position, whether it's KTR or whoever else, whoever he chooses, he needs somebody that's going to take care of that aspect of the race, right? You're going to raise money. You're gonna bring us together.
Right.
You're gonna be that voice. You're gonna be the front image, right? Because he's gonna be doing all the hard work, and not the lieutenant won't, but that's gonna be important.
I get it. You're starting to filibuster on me. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're getting a lot of practice down there, aren't you?
I know. You have to.
So I have one more point to make because this has been brought up to me by a couple of people inside baseball.
Sure.
All right. There's a thought that the Democrats want a MAGA candidate to win the primaries.
Sure.
They want to run against MAGA candidates. They don't think they can. They don't think they can win the general election.
Right.
It's just like when KTR was running against Carrie Lake.
Yep.
She was up by 18 points when I went to bed. Carrie Lake is up by 3 points when I wake up. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I'm not saying there's a conspiracy there, but
I mean,
Democrats want MAGA candidates to win, and I think that is one reason why they moved the primary back 2 weeks. I think, you know, the MAGA candidates are going to have – their base is going to turn out anyway.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one reason why
I think it hurts the Republican Party because we have contested primaries.
Sure. I mean, you're correct on that part. I think it was the right move for us to move the primary earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why. Because get the fight out of the way. Give more time for the general, right, to really put the boots on the ground, get your people out. And you are correct. The Democrats do believe that when you have somebody that's a conservative, far-right conservative, that they have a better chance of winning. I think the times have shifted. I think you're now seeing people understand the importance of having conservative Republicans, having solid Republicans in office, because we're seeing what's happening in the country, right? You're seeing what happens when you don't have that, and you have a Democrat-run legislature or a country or whatever. They go down this path of just this insane mentality, because they get hijacked by the far-left crazies.
Yeah.
Who are talking about, you know, men are women are men, and all these things that...
Can't define what a woman is.
They can't define... Right. And so I think, in my personal opinion, I think it's shifted. I think we're in a different mindset now where we want people in office that are going to stick to their guns, that are going to stick to doing, you know, what they believe is right, what this country stands for, our beliefs, and not waver and go down this path of, let me just, you know, do whatever it is to get reelected. And I think... That's why I think Biggs is going to win, in my opinion.
Win the general?
I think he's going to win the whole thing.
That's a bold call.
I know.
All right. Well, there's a lot that can happen between now and then.
Sure.
President Trump is president again. I mean,
I know.
Talk about the weirdest of weird, right? No, I mean, when you look at 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when everything was going on with the Georgia case and the Manhattan and everything that was happening with Mar-a-Lago and the raids and, oh, my goodness.
I
count him out of anything.
No, I'll tell you this real quick before we go to break. When I was in D.C. At the end of last year and I met with the administration, we talked about this. We said, because for me, loyalty is a big deal, right, being loyal. And when President Trump was at his lowest point, you had people jumping ship.
They were debanking the whole Trump family.
100%. I mean, they were debanking, but even other politicians, even other people,
you
right?
You can't
they
get paid if your boss is debanked.
Right, but you had people like just jumping ship. They're like, we're done with Trump. We don't want anything to do with him. Blah blah blah. Loyalty means more than anything, to him and to this industry. Right, it means important to me. I talk about it all the time how I remember the people that were with me from day one and have never wavered. Right, because they know where I stand. They know my core beliefs. They know what I'm doing. I think this is the same thing with President Trump, and I think this is extremely important in politics in general, is you have to find people that are genuine. This is why you have an election coming up. I tell people all the time, vet your candidates. Know who you're voting for. Know who it is. And with President Trump, you know why people love him? Because he says what he's going to do, and he does what he says he's going to do. Right? He sticks to his guns, and he doesn't back off.
And he calls it like it is. I mean, they're spying on me, and everyone, you're crazy. Guess what? They were spying on the Trump building.
Every conspiracy theorist out there is having a martini right now.
It seems like he's always... you look 6 months back at what he said, and it comes true.
Yeah.
Except for the eating the dogs, eating the cats, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. Yeah. I didn't look into that. Let's hope that's true. Let's hope not.
Anyway, Leo Biasucci, our guest. I still have the Rockabilly reunion weekend.
All right, wristbands.
I'm not doing a question. Just
call
in if you want the passes.
I'll do this. It's Legislative District 30.
Yes.
So that's all you got to do. Right. Text Paul.
You can't text for them. You got to call in.
Just call and say
928-854-5687. You make the rules in the house. I'll make the rules here. All right.
Hey, look, and I'm not surprised nobody knows this. I mean, I think half the people think I work in D.C.
I thought it was 22 for the longest time. Remember?
It's true.
I think when you won at first, it was 22. 8 years ago.
Five. See, you still don't know.
5 years ago.
No. It was District 5 when I first.
When was it 22 then? That was before
in
that.
82 when I wasn't born yet.
Probably. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Little Buddy Holly and the Crickets, and man, I love that song, Rave On. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by SMA Electric, by Doritas Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, as well as AMB Propane, ABPropaneAZ.com. Only got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
And I asked you before in the break this question, but what's the difference between the team now, the legislative team between, you know, the two state reps and the senator, of course, Hilde Yanguas.
Yeah.
And the team when you came in, I think it was you and Regina Cobb and Sonny, right?
Yep.
It was always that for a long time.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the three? Now you have, of course, John Gillette's on that team now, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, first you have different personalities, right? Like, obviously, everybody has a different personality, different character. The biggest difference is when I first got in, I didn't know what the heck I was doing, right? I'm a rookie. It took me a year, 2 years minimum for me to really, like, learn the ropes.
Yeah, good trainers.
The best trainers, right? And to the point, I'll make that point, there are such good trainers that another member came to me yesterday in the floor and he said, hey, I looked it up and I realized that you were the most efficient House representative in the legislature last year.
Nice.
With how many bills you introduced and how many got signed into law. And I do bring that back to, I had phenomenal mentors, right? Sonny and Gina taught me how to maneuver the Viper pit and get through people and how to compromise. So,
plus Gina was on appropriations.
And Gina was appropriations, and then Sonny and I became the whip together. We came majority leaders together in different chambers. So I will say the shift now is, you know, Hilde comes in, she's already experienced from the supervisor role. John has now been there for two terms. And so, you know, the initial part is like you're trying to, you know, guide them and show them. So it's been a shift, right? I went from a rookie to kind of being a mentor and helping now. And now it's going to be even more crazy because...
Now you're like a first base coach.
I know. So Hilde and John are not running anymore. So I'm going to have newbies in the House. I'm going to the Senate. And so I'm going to be holding hands, which I'm okay with. I want a bench that's going to follow what I do. I'm not going to be doing this forever. And so I want people to come in and understand how this place works. And I want to get things done. For the long time, like, we didn't get anything out here in Mojave County.
No, we didn't.
We didn't get much. And so when this team, when we said we're having a team, we're going to become a team, I mean, we've been kicking butt since that day.
Folks, this guy right here, $35 million state line item on the state budget for a second bridge on the island. Are you kidding me?
The whole 95.
Congratulations,
thank
by
you.
The way. That's phenomenal. I haven't talked to you since then.
I know. And look, we actually did the numbers. We've brought back, I think, over 150 or 160 million just back to our district.
Nice.
Since I've been elected. I mean, between Highway 95 and here in Bullhead, the second bridge, SLIP funding, like we've
HERF
been
funding, at yeah.
HERF funding. I mean, we've been kicking butt. And so it'll be a different process this next cycle because I have two newbies coming in.
I don't want to run out of time because we have about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
No, you're good because you wanted to talk about Maha.
Maha.
And you want to talk about your new physical fitness
bill
that's going through. I love this.
A lot of people don't know this, or maybe they didn't hear it, but in 2008, President Obama got rid of the Presidential Fitness Challenge. Right, he said it was discrimination and you're, you know, putting people in weird spots because they got to, you know, perform in front of their classmates.
Trans people couldn't do one pull-up.
Whatever the case. Yeah. But so, which is, it's insane to me.
It is.
So, I ran a bill this year that said, we're bringing it back. We're bringing it back to our schools. Physical fitness challenge on the state level. So every school will be able to participate. 59-0 passed the House. Not a single Democrat voted no. Again, going back to where I've learned
efficiency. There's
certain things I'll never, like, they voted no against me removing soda and candy from SNAP. They voted no on the floor yesterday. I have a bill that's saying, again, if you're on food stamps, you shouldn't be able to buy all this junk. You should be buying real good foods. They voted against that.
Now, I thought that was interesting, the SNAP bills that went through. There's a group of bills.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I can veto this one. They can cherry pick these bills instead of a line item veto. Was that the strategy?
Yeah, and so we wanted to put as many up for her to veto, and this is why we did this strategy of putting them all up in the same week. They were all done this week. But, I mean, again, going back to, there's times where you can negotiate and compromise and make things work with the other side of the aisle. There's times you will never. I mean, on abortion and on, you know, things like, you know, food stamps and stuff, the Dems will never vote for pro-life anything. They'll never vote for cutting back on, you know, healthy foods.
I wanted to ask you that. It seems like there's these bills that go through that you know are going to be vetoed. For example, the one that makes it a criminal act to what is it when you commit a murder or a homicide or somebody is killed, a pregnant woman is killed,
right,
and you get charged with the unborn is still charged as a homicide, correct?
Correct.
That's the bill. But you know the governor's going to veto it. Why even try?
Sometimes you need to get mailers.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to put her on.
I always think it's going to be a referendum.
Right? No, a lot of times if you want to set up and expose the insanity.
Gotcha.
Right? I mean, think about a woman who's pregnant who gets killed in a car accident, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody kills her and she's pregnant, they get charged.
And that person's intoxicated.
Correct. Or whatever. Right. If it's their fault, if they did something, they get charged for both, right? Why don't we do that everywhere else? And it's just, there's common sense stuff. Like, we had a bill on, dealing with designating the cartel as a terrorist organization. She vetoed that one. Like, there's common sense stuff that's just, and so for us, it's, we think it's good policy. She signals she'll veto it. Uh-huh. Fine. Put it up. Let her veto it and let the public know how some of this stuff is just absolutely insane.
So real quick, we're getting under a minute here. We're exactly a minute right now. Tell people how they can sign your petitions.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, I'm in a good position. I don't have a challenger in the general, or no, in the primary, excuse me, which is great. But if you want to sign my position, go to my website, leobiasucci.com. You can go to my Facebook page, go to my Twitter page. Arizona Flags and Poles, George.
Flags and Flag Poles.
Flags and Flag, he's fantastic. George has my petitions. The Mail Center here in the Safeway Plaza, Terry Purcell has my petitions. GOP office has my petitions. Kingman GOP. So I have them everywhere.
Right.
I'm almost at the max, which is great news. So
nice.
I'll be good to go. But would love for you to get my signature. And again, the most important part before I leave, vote. Vote. You guys cannot sit on the sidelines this election cycle. You cannot do it.
But I'm an Election Day guy, and we got to go. I vote on Election Day.
You should.
Just say.
Me too. I love it. I love showing up.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Again, Leo Biasucci, Legislative 30 State Rep. Hannity's up next. I'll see you on Monday.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.